The death of our Lord was an offering. That means it was not to please himself, and it was not to please Pilate, and it was not to please the Jews who cried away with him, and it was not just to satisfy Roman justice. This death of our Lord was an offering, a sacrifice offered up in an attempt, and a successful attempt, of course, as an endeavor to appease and satisfy the justice, the wrath of God.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us here on the program today, and I trust that the Lord's word that you've just heard, that little clip, will stir your heart. We'll be coming to that message from the pulpit of our church in just a few moments. We're going to have a hymn firstly, but now we are going to read from Matthew 16 and verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when the disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Men of this world are very quick to read the signs of the times. They go by the observations of the wind, clouds, and even the color of the sky. The old saying is, red sky in the morning is a shepherd's warning. Red sky at night is a sailor's delight. The signs of the weather were well studied and known from earliest times. But when it comes to spiritual life, we're not to be followers of signs. How do you get that message across to men? The Pharisees fell for it, and the Sadducees fell for it. And to this day, men read, and they look for signs and follow after either superstitious ideas or interpret the wildest views from the sky by day or night. This is wrong. The Lord Jesus said, A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. We are called to know God and to know his will through his word, through the history of God's workings in the world and the revelation he has given in the scriptures of truth. People of faith are Bible interpreters, not sign seekers. This important lesson was followed up by the words of the Lord. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. This needed to be explained to the disciples. They ran off with ridiculous ideas that the Lord was talking about bread. But when he spoke of the leaven of the Pharisees, he was referring to their doctrine. It was the doctrine of unbelief and promoting external things that he was talking about. This was a leaven which cursed their whole religion. They failed to grasp the spiritual reality of the gospel, and they majored on the externals. Thus, they lost sight of the whole truth. This leaven so permeated their thinking that they became enemies of the truth. My friend, learn from this the need to be a Bible Christian. We cannot afford to follow the tradition and the rules of men. We must search the scriptures and seek to the knowledge of God right from his own mouth, as it is written in the Word of the living God. To follow signs, wonders, and subjective impressions may well be to follow delusions which will destroy your soul. The reality is that thousands upon thousands and even millions of people today are following the leaven of the Pharisees. They have more time for religious pseudo-messages than they have to search the Word of God. There are those who would take time and expense to make pilgrimages and seek after so-called prophets who would not crack open a Bible nor accept its truths. Your soul will have more light by reading the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Sermon on the Mount, and Paul's exposition of the gospel to the Romans than by following after foolish religions with external excess. To know salvation is to know God through his word, and to know his Son, whom to know is life eternal, John 17:3. My solemn advice to you today is to become a serious student of the Bible. Herein is wisdom. Jesus said, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." Therefore I beseech you to seek the Lord through his word. Let us pray for this together. Let's unite in prayer. O God, our Father, we take heed of the warning by our Lord Jesus, the warning that we cease from being sign seekers and that we settle our minds upon the word of truth, the word of God contained in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. We do thank thee for this canon of scripture, this word revealed from thy heart and mind. We pray that thou wilt give us grace today to study it, to rest upon it, and to learn the knowledge of God and to trust thee in every word. We pray that the word of the Lord will fill our hearts today, and that thou wilt deliver us from the leaven of Phariseeism, of feeding on externals, when we ought to have the very essence of the gospel controlling our hearts and minds. We thank thee that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross to shed his blood to atone for sin. We thank thee that there is pardon and mercy through the gospel. And we pray today that thou wilt give to thy people great faith to rest and rejoice and delight in the name of the Lord. And so now let thy blessing be upon us. Hear, let men and women hear thy word with grace in their souls today. We do ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And welcome to Let the Bible Speak, and I trust that the Lord has stirred your heart already and that you will listen in as we move now to the preaching of the cross. We want to emphasize the death of our Lord Jesus on that cruel cross. And I trust that you will stay with us here for this program. Do give us a call, 576-1091. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. May the Lord bless you through his word today.
And then, of course, you have its victory. He himself declared the victory of his own death, of his own sacrifice, of his own blood shedding, of his own offering to God, when he cried out, "It is finished." That's the final word. We don't need a theologian to tell us, did Jesus really accomplish it all? Our Lord himself, in public, declared, "It is finished." it is finished. This was not the death of a defeated foe, but of a conquering captain dying in our place. What a victory. My last thought is this. Jesus endured the hell of our separation from God. He endured the curse. He endured the sacrifice. Now I want to see that he endured the separation. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God is light. He cannot dwell in darkness. God cannot look upon sin. And yet God made his own Son to be sin. He became a mass of sin for us when our Lord Jesus was our sin bearer. He made him to become sin from head to toe in his own body. There was legally imputed to him our iniquities, our transgressions. You know how Isaiah put it? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes we are healed. Now in that, our Lord was forsaken by the Father. I don't pretend to understand it all. There is mystery here. There is almost incongruity here that the Father punished his own Son, deserting him. We have a little scene of Abraham up on Mount Moriah taking the knife to slay his own son Isaac. Yes, a picture that would foreshadow Calvary. And we have Abraham about to take the knife and plunge it into the heart of his own son. He was commanded to do so. And then God stopped him and provided a lamb in its place, in the son's place. But at Calvary, there was no substitute. God did forsake his son. God allowed the knife of justice to plunge into the heart of his son, and the son felt the forsakenness of his father. Who shall be able to tell the awful horror of the spiritual sufferings of our Lord during those hours? And that to our Lord Jesus was hell. To be forsaken by his father was hell. God not sparing his own son. And of course Psalm 22 tells us, because he was holy, but thou art holy. And the holiness of God did not allow fellowship with sin. The holiness and the purity of an infinite God of justice could not allow communion between God the Father and God the Son during those hours. And in that darkness for men, there was a deeper darkness for the Son when the Father's face was turned away and our Lord Jesus was made to feel the horror and the hell of sin. Lamentations 1:12 depicts it a little. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. And as we listen, and as we hear our Lord Jesus crying out from thy cross, my God, my God, why? And the Word of God tells us the why. And the Gospel is the why. And you and I are the why. It was our sin. Our sin not only drove the nails into our Savior's hands, It was our sin that turned away the face of God from his own son. That's the why. What use can we make of this? We can need to take it in that there is now no hell for us. I think that's something that we have to grasp. We have to take in. It raises the question of the sufficiency of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. I had a radio listener call me a week ago. We talked at length. He was a Roman Catholic. He wanted to tell me that Protestant churches had lost out by departing from the Roman Catholic Church at the Reformation. I didn't want to get into a long historical debate with him, but I asked him this question: is the death of Christ enough for you? Is the death of the Lord Jesus on that cross sufficient for you? Can you die with the absolute certainty that there will be no more suffering for you? He said, no man can know that. I said, you don't understand the gospel. And you are locked into a system by which you are told that you need to go to another place called purgatory of an undetermined period of time for the cleansing and purifying of your soul before you can reach heaven. That means that Jesus, for him and for all in that system of Roman Catholicism, what he did on the cross was not enough. And that's why the Reformation was born. That's why the reformers came to the doctrine of justification by faith alone. That what Jesus did on the cross is enough. It is sufficient. It has satisfied God the Father. There is no more payment. And the moment that we try to concoct some measure or way of adding merit or value to the death of Christ, it is no longer grace. We're back to works. We are back to a man-made religion. Have we come to the full understanding of this death of our Lord Jesus on our behalf? And here is the greatest reason, of course, for worshiping our Lord Jesus. The greatest reason for praising the Lamb. And you come to Revelation chapter 5. You come to this chapter that says, thou art worthy to receive honor and glory, for thou hast opened the book and redeemed us to God. And of course, Christ is the only one who has opened up that way, because he drank the cup of wrath. He suffered in our place. There is no suffering left for us. Some of us deserve a hotter hell than others. Some have committed crimes that are more heinous than others. But every one sin is an eternal sin that deserves hell. And every one of us must praise the Lamb for all eternity. We will never stop praising the Lord for the death that he offered, the sacrifice that he presented, and the life that he led down on that cross. Now our Lord said, he that is forgiven most will love most. And when we have an understanding of the price and the cost of our Savior's sufferings for us, when we understand the enormity of our own sin, and we try to do the math of what it cost my Savior to save my soul, it ought to bring the very perfume of love and devotion from my heart to my Savior, because what a great debt I owe. What love I owe to my Savior. Especially when I can sing, "No hell for me, no hell for me." Hallelujah. What a salvation. What a Savior we have, that He was willing to suffer for us. Yes, on that cross, He took our hell. He drank the cup, and there's none left. If you believe in the Lord Jesus today, with all your heart, thou shalt be saved. If you believe, like those Israelites who were bitten by the serpent, to look unto Christ and His blood that was shed, His work that was paid on the cross, you will be saved. Now, I didn't say 90% saved. It doesn't mean 99% saved or 99.9%. It is completely saved. Full salvation, full redemption, by the death of one, once, never to be repeated, never to be added to, on Calvary. Is that where your faith is today? If so, you're a gospel Christian. If so, you are a Calvary Christian. And I pray that will be the result of this sermon today. That you will be in love with Calvary and the Christ of Calvary and the gospel, the promises that come from Calvary. If you need the Lord today and you need to be saved and I can be of help to you, I want to. Sit in your seat while others go or speak to me at the door. I have a little booklet called A New Beginning. It lays out how you can be saved and how you can be sure of it. I'd love to share that with you. Give you a copy to take home with you. Would love to see you trust this way of God's salvation. We're going to sing in closing, please, our final hymn. It's number 143. It's the well-known and very famous hymn, The Old Rugged Cross. And I trust that we'll sing it with some real feeling and real appreciation for our Lord's death on the cross for us. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. It's 143 in our hymnal. 143.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., and also our half-hour church service on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on this station. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speak.